I think there are a couple of things that really jumped out at the Citizens Efficiency Commission as they went through their work. One was that in the main, the local officials in the area were working very hard, they and their staff, to try to meet the needs and wants of their community, but they had a number of barriers in doing that. One was just the lack of information and data that they had. Another was that I think some found very surprising was the number of areas where they could not really actively look to improvements because state law prohibited that, or there were state mandates that required certain things to happen, so much so that the group even began to start putting together sort of a legislative list of activities that might need to be changed. I think the other thing that was pretty apparent as we went through this was that implementation and taking these recommendations seriously demanded public involvement in it. In fact, they even identified a number of areas where individual citizens and their own behaviors can reduce the cost of local government. This is not just something that needs to be looked at for the governments themselves and their leaders and their staff, but the general public.
When I look at these, many of these are, I guess they fly under the radar a little bit to the average citizen. And if some of these were implemented, they would not necessarily probably change on the face what government does, but it would just make things a little more efficient and possibly save some money, make things work a little better, is your thought. We're not talking about radical changes such as consolidating governments in most cases, things like that.
I think it would be fair to say that when the Efficiency Commission began its work, one of the large things that they were looking at was consolidations and mergers. And as they went through their work, they discovered that there were a lot of things that governments can do that didn't require that kind of structural change to make it work, in some cases where just communities started to work together. There were also areas, as we talk about consolidation and we talk about mergers, where they found another number of areas where you didn't necessarily need to bring together the jurisdictions themselves into a new jurisdiction, but just functions of those. You know, one of the things that's been particularly in the public interest is a discussion about a merger or consolidation of the county sheriff's department and the Springfield Police Department. The Efficiency Commission recommends in that there are a number of administrative kind of things that can be brought together to save money within or between the various police forces. But also there are a lot of functional areas that could be brought together. Questions like why does every community, not just Springfield and the county, but all the villages and other cities in the region, why do they all need to have their own evidence rooms? Why do they all need to have their own file rooms? Why do they all need to have homicide detectives or SWAT teams? Those are things that could be done jointly without a merger of the two forces in and of themselves.
Now, one of the things they could have discussed, I guess, and apparently did, but took no made no recommendation, was on the area in the area of school consolidation. I know they looked at education in a lot of areas, but sort of decided to leave that for either a different time or a different group to take a look at. Why was there no recommendation in that area?
It's an interesting area. They looked at some areas on it. For example, whether or not the Springfield Mass Transit District couldn't work with the school district related to sharing pupil transportation as a savings area. They also found that there were, and I think this gets to your question is why some recommendations weren't made, is they found that some areas where savings could be made were restricted by state law. A good example of that is that small school districts can't share superintendents, they can't share senior administrative staff. They have to have their own, and we've got some small school districts that could have some significant savings by sharing some of those staff. The other reason why they didn't was because there's been a lot of work in that area. You know, the lieutenant governor finished some with her Blue Ribbon group this just in this past year. So that had somewhat been studied, and it requires some special expertise to start to look at those kinds of issues. And so one of their recommendations is that a special group needs to come together as a future to look at that within the area. You know, we've got a lot of school districts. We have a lot of local governments in general in Illinois and in Sangamon County in particular. So, and in some cases, it's a pretty complex kind of pattern that you look with in how you're restrained either by state law or by federal regulation.
And we are talking with Norm Sims, Executive Director of the Sangamon County Regional Planning Commission. We're talking about an effort to look at government efficiency and effectiveness in Sangamon County, a final report from the Citizens Efficiency Commission for Sangamon County that has come out. You can find a link to that on our website as well, that entire report. Let me ask about another area, and that is like infrastructure needs. I noticed, for example, there was a recommendation made about sewers in Springfield. Can you talk more about that?
One of the things that we have, particularly in the Springfield area, you sort of have two different entities responsible for the sewer system, and we're talking about First Sanitary Sewer, and that's the Metro Sanitary District as well as the City of Springfield. And one of the questions that they particularly looked into was whether or not there could not be a shifting of the city's responsibility for sewers to the Metro Sanitary District. They believe that that's possible and there's some ability to do that there. The difficulty is that some of the city sewers are not up to the same specs that the sanitary district would have. And the sanitary district is not inclined to take on new problems without a source of revenue to solve those problems with the sewers. You know, we have some sewers in downtown Springfield that date back to the 1800s that are in need of repair. So what they are recommending there is for that to continue to be addressed and possibly in a rolling way, where as new areas come on, they would transition to the sanitary district. As some of the older sewers get improved, they could transfer to the sanitary district. I think the other thing that became a complication as they started to look at it and that people may not recognize is we're really operating two sewer systems. One is the sanitary sewer and the stormwater sewers are separate. But in Springfield, sometimes the sanitary in the older areas and stormwater run through the same sewers. And they have different inputs and they have different conditions that have to be dealt with them. So one of the areas that they think needs further review, in fact, is how we handle stormwater.
Having covered governments through the years, I know that some of them can be quite territorial, and it can be difficult at times to get them to work together. Do you anticipate problems, trying to implement some of these recommendations, or do you think that in many cases governments are on board with trying to do something?
You know, it's a really pertinent question. One of the first areas that the Efficiency Commission identified as a problem area, an area where efficiencies could be improved, was the fact that local units of government in Sangamon County, their leadership, weren't meeting with one another. There was no format for that to occur. There was no forum for that to take place. So their first recommendation was what they call the peer network group, and that initially the mayors and the village board presidents needed to start getting together to look at these areas where they could work together collaboratively or cooperatively. And that has actually come to pass. In fact, the mayors and the village board presidents have established what's now called the Regional Leadership Council for Sangamon County, and they've been a very active and supportive group. And I think one of the reasons why that's the case is that throughout the work of the Efficiency Commission, one of the major questions they would ask local leaders and local administrators is, if you could redesign what you're doing from ground up, from square one, you didn't deal with what was already there and some of those patches and interests from the past, would you design it the way you're operating it today? And almost invariably the answer was no. I think the expectation that we have is that there's some interest in our local leaders, our mayors and village board presidents and county board members and the like to make these improvements if they can find ways to do that, and particularly if there's public support for it. One of the things that the report particularly points out is that often there is not an incentive given by the public for this to happen. In fact, there's a disincentive. If things start to be done in a different way, the public may be concerned about that. If there's a savings that could be generated long-term but requires some upfront investment, a lot of times the public may oppose that. So having the public start to understand government itself and how it's operating and what some of those needs are, I think would go a long way to encourage that kind of collaborative and cooperative action.
And at this time, I mean, I don't know any local government that is swimming in money. So they're all looking at ways to try to save where they can and, of course, still operate efficiently. And that's really what you're getting at the heart of, too.
Absolutely. I mean, the starting point for this was not just that governments are strained these days, but the public's strained, too. They don't want to pay more of their hard-earned income for these improvements. And this is going on and is being worsened by the fact that some of the sources of revenue from the state and federal area that local units of government have expected and received for a long time are not only being rolled back, but they're being eliminated in general. And at the federal level, and I expect ultimately the state level, the various programs, grant programs that local governments use are being more and more limited to large metro areas. When you consider that the bulk of the U.S. population lives in communities of 500,000 or more, you can see why the federal government in that end say be more efficient just to give it to the large metro areas. Well, as you know, in central Illinois, we don't have any metro areas like that, which means that one of the sources that, local governments may have depended upon in the past to help solve some of these problems, particularly infrastructure problems, may not be available to them. So we're trying to get them to the point they're thinking about that, planning for that, and finding out what their alternatives are, trying to as the planning, as the Efficiency Commission said, you know, better service at lower cost.
Well, what is the next, what does the future hold for the Efficiency Commission? Because from what I understand of it, it's done its job now, but a lot of people would like to see this continue.
The existing Efficiency Commission, by the establishing resolution that led to the referenda that, by over 62% of the voting public they approved 3 years ago, could not make any recommendations after November of this past year. So that work is completed, and the final report shows that. They continue to exist through I think it's November of this year. However, because of the work they've done and the recognition that it's gotten, the county board has passed a resolution to put another referenda on the ballot this coming March. And it will ask the public whether it supports the continuation of the Efficiency Commission for another 3 years, but with a much smaller group, where we've been dealing with 23 members at the present time. This would call for 9 members. 7 of those from the current Efficiency Commission membership, 2 from outside of that. So the public will get a chance in March to answer, you know, the question, do you want this work to continue? And specifying the names of the 9 people who will serve on that. I've been asked, what do I think about continuation? And my contention is, if you think government is as efficient, as effective as it can be, then don't support the referenda. If you think that it's a good idea to have a group of independent citizens objectively look at what government's doing, trying to identify areas where they can provide better service and they can provide that at lower cost, vote in favor of the referenda. You know, we've given a lot of attention to the 23 recommendations that were made by the commission. I think there's another story in this, and that throughout this work, they found certain themes coming up that sort of tied some of the areas that they identified together. And those were things that basically we needed to look at just a new way of doing business for government in the area. Their intention, and as their report says, was not just to look at meeting the public's expectation in terms of efficiency and the service that provides, but exceeding those expectations, getting to the point that other people around the state and the country are saying, you know, to themselves when they have a problem, what's Springfield, Sangamon County doing related to that? And some of that deals with some things that are very easy to do in some ways. One, we need better information to make decisions about, and actually making decisions based upon that information. Having some performance measures that are out there that the public can see, as the report says, to show that the government is actually making headway, not just headlines there. And then looking to how you can start to plan better. Some of the things we found, and we were talking about sewers earlier, that in some cases the local units of government didn't even know what the financial cost to improve these systems are. So to start to manage in a lot better way than we have in the past.
And really it's a situation where in some cases with governments, if they don't take this upon themselves, this can be a directive that's handed down to them from state or federal government saying, you know, we can't afford to fund you anymore in this level, so you need to, you know, if you haven't solved your own problems, we'll solve it for you.
More and more, both the state and federal government are saying, we want to have performance measure. We want to see what you're improving. We want to have some guarantee of that. And I think that's what the public's doing, too. You know, the public is not opposed to governmental service. They're not opposed, in my mind, to paying taxes. What they're opposed to is feeling that they don't get their money's worth for the taxes they pay. And by doing some of the things that we are talking about in this report that the Efficiency Commission has identified, and I think that the next version of the Efficiency Commission, its follow-on, if the referendum is approved, I think they will find some of those things and help gain community support for the kind of improvements that are still available to us out there.